Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, a wonder working power in the blood. Come on, sing it out. Of the Lamb. There is power, oh power, a wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Stains are lost in this life-giving flow. There's wonderful power. Oh, come on, somebody shout it. Hey! Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider? Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, I know there's power. Come on. Since things are lost in this life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it again. Of Jesus, I want you to raise your hand and just say praise God for that power. We're ready to move, God. We're ready to move. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Say-
let's just begin to lift our hands tonight. Just call on that name if you have a need in this place, or believing that tonight is your night. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. When we look to Jesus and we see what he did for us so many years ago, we see him shedding his blood, and it was enough to save us from our sin, to give us eternity, right? Is enough. But how many are thankful that the blood's just not enough? It's more than enough. Because his blood is not just enough to get us to heaven, but it's to break the back of death, hell, and the grave forever. It's enough that we can plead over our family, over our iniquities, over our sin, over our bodies, over our finances. Everything changed because of the blood. And so if you're grateful that the blood is more than enough, I want you to raise both hands to heaven. Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to the Lord and just begin to say, thank you for the blood. Thank you that it's more than enough and it still has power today. It still has power today. Jesus, oh, we thank you for the blood, oh Lord. Thank you for the blood. Your blood is a rescue for the sin-stained life. Your blood is healing for the hopeless and broken. Your blood is enough. Jesus is enough. Your blood is a shelter. My storm, your blood is my refuge when I'm hurting and alone. Your blood is enough. Jesus is enough. It's renew, restore, save. Sing that again, more than enough. It's more than enough. I know it's more than we need. It's more than enough. Your blood is a rescue to the sin-stained life. Your blood is healing. Can your blood is enough? Oh, Jesus, it's enough. Oh, we believe that's true. Your blood is a shelter in the middle of my storm. Your blood. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go back to that. I like this song a lot. I just learned it this afternoon. It's renewing, it's restoring, it's saving, it's healing, delivering captives and setting us free. You know, when I was a teenager, well, I'll say younger than a teenager, I lived in this small town called Shelburne, Nova Scotia. Not much to cheer about there. If you like fishing, that's a good place to go. Other than that, yeah. But I had these pair of sneakers that were really cool. They were called British Knights. This just sounds cool. They went up about that high, because they're 80s, super high tops, you know. They were really high tops, and they were colorful, and they were super cool. And then in sixth grade, oh man, I was such a nerd. Fifth grade, we did a field day. Oh man, we did a field day. And my British Knights were all day, but then this new thing came out. Reebok pumps. Woo! And this incarnation of Reebok pumps, tie them up, and they had this big, humongous ball. It was like, you know, it was like the size of a softball on your shoe. You know, it's crazy. You just pump it up, and all it does is tighten. It doesn't do anything. But I was young, and I thought, I'm gonna pump these up, and I'm gonna be able to jump higher. So we did at field day. It's like the PF Flyers from the Sandlot, right? So on field day, we had this high jump thing. And I would jump over it, you know, and it would go up a little higher, and people would go. And as they lifted up higher, when I come up, this is so stupid. People grab me. They were like, oh, and higher. And I bend over and I start pumping. And everyone's like, oh, no. You know, and then we ran and, you know, and I didn't make it because the shoes didn't do anything. Back in 1988 and 1992 or whatever that was in, those were really, really cool and they meant something. They don't mean anything now. Everything has a shelf life except the blood. You didn't know where I was going with that, did you? You were like, where is he going? Everything has a shelf life. What is cool today will not be cool 10 years from now. What clothing style is in now, give it 30 years and it may come back. But you know, it won't be cool 10 years from now. But you know what? The same blood that was shed 2,000 years ago still renews, still restores, still saves, still heals, still delivers, still sets people free. Hallelujah. Renewing, restoring, saving and healing, delivering captives, saves life everlasting. It is life everlasting to all who receives it. Your blood. Oh, hallelujah. Your blood is more than enough. Come on, if you need that more than enough blood in your life, I want you to raise your hands and sing it. It's more than enough. We believe in Lord. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today that when we hear the word of the Lord, it doesn't come with an expiration date. While we breathe on this planet, and as long as you haven't returned, there's hope. There's hope for our friends. There's hope for our family. There's hope for people here that need Jesus, because the blood still saves. The blood still changes things. The blood never ever has lost its power, but it still does the same thing. And I pray, God, there will be an anointing to see the power of God move. The blood of God is powerful and mighty here. So I pray that you'll anoint us, God, as we move from this moment into what's next in the service. God, you'll anoint Anthony as he gets ready to speak. That God, he'll just minister to us, Lord, the power of your cross, the power of what you did. After all, it's not us, but it's you. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the hope you've given us. I thank you, God, that we can come into church happy and leave happier Come into church sad and leave happy. Come into church broken and leave healed. Come into church defeated and leave the victory. Because God, that's how you want it to be. So I pray, Lord, that we will have high expectations for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise and somebody a high five. Tell them Jesus is good. Thanks, choir. Ray, you maybe have a seat tonight. Good evening. Isn't God good? Man, I tell you. Welcome to church. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm very happy to be here tonight, too. If you are a visitor, thank you, Ron. Give it up for Ron Neal and everybody. Come on. Woo! If you're a visitor here, I want to thank you guys so much for coming. You're a special guest. Just nothing crazy. We're not going to make you stand up. Tell us about yourself, unless you want to. You don't have to. But in the chair back in front of you, there's cards there, a contact card. We'd love for you to fill it out and drop it in the offering, which we're going to take up in a few minutes. We'd love to just give you a call, see if we can pray for you, see what you like the church, see if there's anything we can do for you, because we love when more people come in, amen? And we want to thank everybody for joining us online. We are grateful for that audience. It's growing and growing and growing, but we'd love for you guys to come visit us sometime. But you know what? Enjoy tonight. The Lord will speak to you as well. Can we let our visitors and everybody online know that we're happy that they've joined us tonight? Praise God. We have an unbelievable amount of stuff coming on, this church going on. Today, the band, and myself and the band, all these guys up here, Mariah, well, she could if she wanted to, but she wasn't here. But we practiced for the candlelight service today. What? Yes. I just want to let everybody in a little secret. The drummer boy is coming back. Yeah. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. So make sure you already start telling people about it. I think it's December 16th and 17th, Saturday and Sunday night. So you want to make sure you make plans. So we're excited about it. But next Sunday in the morning on the 12th is something called Heart for the House. Is that the night? The morning, Vinny? It's the night? Okay. A week from tonight is Heart for the House. And what that is Pastor Ward's going to come and he's going to acknowledge all of our volunteers because this church runs on the backs of volunteers. If it wasn't for you doing what you do, people wouldn't be getting saved. People wouldn't be getting changed. Teenagers and young children and middle school students and young adults wouldn't get ministered to twice, three times a week. But because you have a heart for what God is going to do, because you have a heart for the house, it makes it work. And so we're going to come. We're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to celebrate some people. We're just going to have a great time next Sunday night. So especially if you're a volunteer, make sure you come next Sunday night. But even if you're not, come in and see what it's all about. Maybe you'll like to after that night, like to volunteer. Also, the whole month of November, we are bringing in coats for some children in the area that need coats. How many know that it gets cold in Maine? It gets really cold. And I could sit here and tell you, like, we need coats, but we're already getting them in like crazy. You guys like to give more than I've ever seen. It's amazing. We needed 100 coats. I think we counted like 250 hands. So I think we're going to be okay. But if you have a coat, out in the foyer, in the information center, there's a place for you to bring your coat. It's going to be awesome for a kid who's never gotten a new coat to rip off a new tag from the coat and know it came from the Lord. It came from this church, so it came from God. And they'll remember that. They'll remember that those cold days in December. Man, this coat, thank you, you know? When they're 20 years old, they'll think about that awesome church that gave them a coat, and they'll be like, I'm going to go to church. Your coat could save a life. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So, you know, be bold in that. Pray over your coat. Pray over the things you buy, because God's going to use it great. God's going to use it great. I have something. I don't think there's a slide for it, but something that I do want to let everybody here know about. It's coming actually on Friday, December 8th. Friday, December 8th. We got a really cool thing coming up here. It is it's a Christmas worship sort of concert thingy. I don't want to say concert because it's a little bit more than that. It's like we're going to be having a Christmas concert with a guy named Paul Balazs. And I remember Paul Balazs from when I was like
15, 14 years old, teaching me from a far distance how to play guitar and how to lead worship, because I listened to so many of his songs throughout my childhood, and that inspired me and taught me how to play guitar and taught me how to lead worship. And so I'm excited to see this guy, because it's like he is, because of him, I am who I am. So I'm pretty excited about Paul Baloch coming. He's going to come. We're going to sing some Christmas songs that he's written, some classic Christmas songs. I believe we're going to have about 5 or 6 singers from our church sing with him. And it's just going to be a great night. It's going to be a great night. Now, Lighthouse Events is putting it on. So there is a charge. It's not that much. I don't have the details with you right now. But you can look at thelighthouseevents.net.com. Just search them. The Lighthouse Events. I'm sorry. This is just off the cuff. But we'd love for everybody to come that can make it. It's going to be like a little taste of the candlelight service. It'll be nice on December 8th when you're all frustrated about Christmas gifts and what am I going to buy for this person? Joy to the world. It'll calm you down for the remaining week. So Friday, December 8th, check it out online. We'll have some tickets available soon. And we'll just love to see as many people that can come. Amen? Amen. Ushers, why don't you come on down and get ready to give. I want to mention that this Saturday, we're having a memorial service at 1 o'clock for one of our beloved students and one of our beloved church members named Misty Belanger. She was tragically killed in a car accident last week. And it's one of those things where you don't really know why or what to say about it other than just lean on Jesus. But I think it would be great if everybody who's connected to this church or connected to them come on Saturday to support the family. But to realize that Misty had a great testimony. Misty had a great testimony. I remember she served in our youth group for a while. She drove our buses for a while. Picked kids up because you gave. She was able to go through a process where she was lost in drug addiction to free and in heaven today because you gave. Come on. If that doesn't make you want to sow into the kingdom of God, then you need to come down and get saved. Because her life, her part in her own story is over. But the story that she has shared with her faith school companions is going to go around the world. About this girl I knew in college. She was lost, but Jesus found her. Because a church was willing to reach out. A school was willing to reach out. Some people were willing to be fathers and spiritual grandfathers to her. All because this church can turn the lights on, can turn the sound on, can help support the school, can help support the buses. Her life, she is in heaven today because you were faithful in what you called you to do. And I'm excited to see her again. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do on Saturday, helping her family and helping the people that have come. Because this might be a different memorial service than we're used to, because I believe there's going to be a lot of people there who need Jesus. And I know she wants to see great things take place of this. When the devil tries to destroy something, God always finds a way to make it better and bigger and stronger than it ever is going to be. So we're going to honor her on Saturday. And we're going to see God do incredible things in these last days. So I encourage you to come, as well as I encourage you to give tonight. So Father, I thank you so much for the opportunities we have to change lives like we changed Misty's, like you changed Misty's life. But God, there are thousands of Misty's in this area that we're in. God, in this state, there are thousands of people who are in need of an outstretched hand, are in need of a van to pick them up, are in need of a ministry that will be able to support them and help them and move them and do something, God, to give them hope. And I thank you that our church is willing to pay the price to see it happen, to give so we can see the kingdom of God change lives. The devil has gotten into our communities, has gotten in through drug addiction and substance abuse, but in the name of Jesus, we are taking it back. We are taking it back, God, one soul at a time, one gift at a time, God, one ministry at a time. And I pray, Lord, as we just continue to sow into this kingdom, to sow into this ministry, Lord, not only will you bless us in return, but we will see a greatest harvest of souls we've ever seen, Lord. God, I thank you that we don't ever have to go back to where we were, but we can always move forward because of what happens here tonight. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Be blessed as you give tonight. Pastor Ward wanted me to tell you that him and Sister Ward are in Spain this week. Spain. Not Spain, Maine, but Spain, Spain. And they are, and he's going to be preaching five times over there. Isn't it great that we have a pastor here in little Charleston, Maine, that is in Spain tonight ministering to some Spaniards? That's awesome. I don't know if that was the wrong thing to say or not. I'm not sure, but hey, whatever. And also, Sister Darcy, she hates me calling her Sister Ward, but since she's not here, Sister Ward, she's going to be preaching to some ladies there as well. So I think we'd be all right if we just stand up and pray. I don't even know what time it is. I think it's like 1:30 in the morning there, but we're going to stand up and we're going to pray for Pastor and Sister Ward, and we're going to believe that God's going to bless them and what they do, continuing to stretch out the reach of this church. Amen? To stretch out the reach of the church and the school. You see, we may be a small blip on the radar in Maine, but we have a reach that's going to touch the world because God has his favorable hand on us. So, Lord, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for his wife. We thank you for that family, Lord, that has laid down everything, God, to serve you, Lord. And you've been blessing them. And you've been honoring them and everything that they've done. And we pray for protection in Spain, that he'll do everything he needs to do there, come home safely so he can preach to us and serve us, God, and just we can see the kingdom of God advance. But God, as he's there, I pray, Lord, that he'll see people saved, changed, delivered, Lord, that there will be revival take place in those areas in Spain that he is, Lord, because everybody on this side of the ocean and that side of the ocean needs the name of Jesus in their life. So I pray, God, you'll use them both this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as you're standing, I would like you to welcome our speaker tonight. You know him as the Little Debbie Man. Don't talk about Twinkies around this fella. But he also does the Ignite Group. He's an amazing man of God who loves your middle school student and wants to see them get the best that they can possibly get. So can you please welcome Mr. Anthony Nealon tonight? Hey!
Thanks, man. Thank you, Paul. Let's give it up for Paul Rogers. You know him as Mr. Guitar Man. You guys can have a seat. Before you do, give a high five to your neighbor. Say, what's up? Awesome. How many know the blood is still working today? Whew. It was a great worship service. Great worship service. Well, I want to start this off tonight with a little bit of a story. I want to bring you back 51 weeks after the turn of the century. The turn of the millennium. It was Christmas morning, the year 2000. A young Nealon is sitting around the Christmas tree. There's a box that catches my eye. It's got my name on it. Oh, yeah. I open the neatly, festively wrapped box to find another man's name on this box. His name was Tommy Hilfiger. There was no socks in this box. There wasn't any khakis. There was a 3.4-ounce bottle of Tommy Hilfiger cologne in this box. After Christmas had, you know, everything was done, taking my stuff back to my room, I took the bottle of cologne out of the box, and before I placed it on my bureau, I'm sure I applied liberally just to get it, you know, to try it out a little bit. And I set it next to the award-winning Adidas Moves cologne. How many know Adidas Moves? I don't know if it won any awards, but what I can tell you about it is when I was in eighth grade, that was the fragrance of choice for me, at which point it caught the sniffer of the woman who is Mrs. Nealon today. So for me, I earned myself a trophy with that spray. So I don't know, it won any awards on its own, but I won an award with that. Anyways, I digress. After I removed the bottle of cologne from the box laid there on my floor, it had served its purpose. It had run its course. It should be discarded, or should it? As I looked upon it, I realized that that was a perfect box to capture my growing collection of handwritten love letters. Okay, not all love letters, but you know, when we were kids, all right, youth of today, when I was a kid, we actually had to handwrite. How many know what we didn't text. We had to, we had AOL Instant Messenger, right? And we had to, that was a lot of fun. But we had to handwrite in school. We would handwrite letters. And if anybody who was anybody knew how to do some origami thing and fold it up into a triangle and flick it to your friend or in a little square and tuck it in. How many know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so I had this box filled with all these letters. I'd love to let you believe that every one of them were positive and that were just filled with hard eyes and kissy face emojis. But they weren't. If the box could speak, I'm sure it would tell you of the heartache and the heartbreak that came my way. I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. And as the old song says, breaking up is hard to do. There was several letters that, how many have ever been broken up with before? I mean, when I was, eighth grade, ninth grade, I got broken up with a few times. And when you were searching for a girl in either a youth group or a Christian school, there was a few topics of why, the reasons why you got broken up with. Number one, if you're taking notes, don't write this down. But number one, I don't believe it's the right timing. We're in eighth grade, no kidding. Number two, my personal favorite, I don't think this is God's will. That's the typical youth group girl response when you're wearing her out, dude. And number three, which brings me to my title tonight, it's not you, it's me. How many have ever heard that before? It's not you, it's me, right? Now, when you hear it the first time, I thought, it's not you, it's not me, it's you. You got that right, sister. I ain't got anything going on. No, it's not me, it's certainly you, that's fine. But after probably the eighth time of hearing that, you have to look in the mirror and wonder, what in the world am I doing wrong? I think I counted, between those three, I think there was one girl that broke up with me eight times for a variety of those reasons. but tonight I want to speak this message to you. It's not you, it's me, signed God. You see, this isn't a breakup letter. This is more of a wake-up letter. It's not like a Dear John letter. It's more of a Dear Church letter. There's so many things in life that we think that we've got to do on our own. And we try to meddle in the business that only belongs to God. And it's only His responsibility to do. We think that we've got to do it. We might feel overwhelmed because it might be a daunting task. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. No, God says it's not about you. It's about me. So tonight I want you to leave here encouraged, knowing you don't have to do it all by yourself. It's not all about you. It's about Him. So I'm going to hit you with 3 points today. You don't have to do it on your own. He's going to be with you. You don't have to pay the price. He's already paid. And you're not going to be defeated because He has already won. So I hope that you'll go with me. Lord, I pray that you will bless this message tonight, God. I pray that you'll open our hearts to receive something from you, oh God. Lord, I pray that I can just be a vessel, Lord, that you can speak to your people through. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with all those love notes, I need to hit this segue, forgive me. I wrote it with pen and paper, right? Stephen Guilene, I think it was a feather and parchment. Malcolm and Sonia, I think it was a chisel and a stone tablet. So at stone tablet, let's take a look at the life of Moses, how about it? Before we turn to Exodus chapter 3, if you got your Bibles, that's where we're going to be heading. Let me just set this up. When we think of Moses, Moses was a mighty leader. He led the Israelites out of captivity. I mean, this guy was great. But do you think that, when you think about this, he didn't have the greatest of starts. Leading up to this, before God had called him, Moses had a lot of baggage that he carried with him. Moses, at the time of his birth, the king of Egypt sent out a decree that every boy, every Hebrew boy under the age of two must be killed, and every newborn baby boy must be killed right away. Can you imagine that? This is when he was born. Moses' mother hid him as long as she could. When she finally, at about 3 months, she couldn't hide him anymore. She put him in a basket, waterproofed it, and put it out in the river, and had Moses' big sister go down to the riverbank and watch. Soon after that, the king's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and she saw the basket. What is that? She felt compassion. She saw that it was a baby boy, and she knew it must be from one of the Hebrew women. So she went and scooped the baby up, and she wanted to raise this baby. Moses' sister runs over and says, would you like me to find a Hebrew woman that can help you raise this child? Yes, please. So it ends up being, what an incredible story of Moses should have been put to death, should have lost his life. Sometimes the enemy, right when you're starting out, he knows the power that you're going to have upon your life, and he wants to end that now. But when God steps in and offers you that protection, I'm telling you what, church, God's got something on your life. God had something for Moses to do, whether he could see it at the point or not. So Moses was raised. Think about this, a Hebrew boy. We don't see much in between here, between chapter 2 and chapter 3, before, as he's raised. We only see just a little bit of it. But think about this. What a messed up family situation this guy has. I mean, some of us have some family trees, others have family bushes, but this guy has his birth mother, and then his adoptive mother. One of them, is a slave. The other one lives in a palace. Big difference. And growing up, I'm not sure when he realized it. I know that his biological mother must have been teaching him the ways, and their people's customs. And as he began to get older, kind of realizing, I don't belong here. I'm raised as an Egyptian in a palace, but I'm a little bit different. And to think that you're living under the same roof of your grampy who wanted you dead. I mean, think about that. Can you imagine going to sleep knowing that I'm a little bit different? Something strange is going on here, and the very person that's providing for me wanted to make sure that I was not alive when I was a child. You think about that. So as the years go on, Moses is growing up. He's now becoming a man, and he sees an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew. He looks around, looks over both shoulders, and he goes and he takes action, and he kills the Egyptian and saves the life of the Hebrew. Soon after that, word began to spread. People, somebody saw him, and it just went like wildfire, scared him. Oh no, I bet, everyone's going to know. Sure enough, Pharaoh finds out, and he's like, I'm going to kill you. His grandson, I'm going to kill you again. Can you think of what that would do? You might have a messed up relationship with some of your family members, but a couple attempts of murder, we're going to spend the holidays separated, okay? I'm not going. Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm going to make alternative plans. Thank you. So let's pick this up. Exodus chapter 3. Moses has gone into the wilderness. He has married a woman. He's starting to raise a family. He is tending the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, and he's out near Mount Sinai, and all of a sudden, he catches this flicker, and he sees it's a bush. It's on fire, but not being consumed. And it's the Lord in this fiery bush. And he begins to speak out to Moses after the people of Israel still in bondage, still under captivity. And the Lord hears them. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go. He's talking to Moses here. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I? Who am I? Do you know where I came from? Do you understand the family dynamic? Do you understand what is going on here? Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, check this out, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Who am I? So many of us have asked this. Who am I? Do you know where I came from? Who am I? Do you know what I've dealt with? Who am I? Do you know what I've done? I'm not capable. I'm not worthy. Moses didn't think that he was worthy of the calling of God. He didn't think he had what it was going to take to accomplish this job. But what God said is, don't worry about who you are. Worry about who I am, and I am is going with you. He wanted him to go and negotiate the freedom for Israel. Talking about negotiations, I recently bought a used box truck. And the salesman may or not be sitting about 10 rows back on the left-hand side, stage left, if you want to. Yeah, where is he, Matt? I saw this truck. I needed it for my business. And the good salesman told me, you know, hey, there's the list price, but I think you can get this pretty cheap. And I said, all right. So I now listen, how many of you are like me that most of the time it's like I'm not as bad as my father-in-law, but I still like I can buy something without really thinking it through. I mean, I take my time most, but I don't always pray about it. This time I really put this thing through prayer. God, what do you want me to do here? I need a truck, and I felt comfortable. I felt the Lord leading me into an offer to make for this particular truck. So I text Matt and told him this is what I want to offer. So it really wasn't under his jurisdiction. So you had to like go to somebody else, right, Matt? So he was kind of he was in between. He was my mediator, right? And I offer this price, and they're like, nah, yeah, no, it's not gonna happen. So they come back with a counter offer, and I said, you know. And I tell Matt, okay, here's my other offer. And I gave him like an out-the-door offer, tax title and everything, which ended up equaling about the same amount. Is this right? And Matt laughed, and he's like, that's like the same offer you just made. I said, I know. And so he's like, all right. And so he goes, and they're like, no, we're not going to sell it for that. We're not going to sell it for that. And Matt, you'll remember, I text you. I said, hey, listen, man. You know, and I had been reading in the book of Exodus. I said, don't make me call down plagues. You'll be fine. But I saw the way Moses negotiated. He started calling down some plagues. Before the end of it, we went back and forth. It didn't look like they were going to budge. I was going to have to increase my offer. I didn't really want to do this. I really felt God leading me to this price. And Matt said, what do you want to do? Do you want to kind of meet in the middle? I said, fine. Yeah, okay, do it. So Matt goes to give the other counter offer. And then my phone rings. And it's Matt. And I answer to this. Have I ever told you how good I am at what I do? Actually, you have. I think I'm pretty sure you have. But what happened? So it turns out, before he even could give the other offer, the guy told Matt, he's like, listen, just tell your buddy to come down here. Take it for that price. Just get it out of here. Just get it done. When he came back home that night, we wrote up the paperwork. The actual offer price ended up being $35 less than my initial offer. So here's the thing. When the Lord is negotiating for you, you don't want to stand in my way. You don't want anybody coming up against you. See, when Moses went before Pharaoh, it wasn't just him. He had somebody negotiating with him. See, I had the upper hand because I knew on my heart, this is what God wants me to do. This is where God wants me to be. And I didn't have to, although I did kind of cave. And finally, Matt broke me down and beat me up and fine, give him an extra, you know, whatever. And let's get this thing done. But that's not what God wanted. And I ended up paying less money for that truck than my initial offer. You should have settled, man. Why didn't they take that initially? The story goes on with Moses. He ends up taking his brother Aaron, and they go before Pharaoh, and they say, hey, you know, through this whole course of events, you need to let my people go. They started off real nice. But what happened? God sent 10 plagues to the nation of Egypt. By the end of it, see, and this is what I told you, man, just you end up losing $35, all right? But Moses, at the end of this whole thing, Pharaoh and the rest of the Egyptians, fine, go, we don't want you, you've been our slaves, but instead of like, we're just going to let you go to the wilderness and sacrifice to your God, instead of just letting you go, no, please go, please get, just take whatever you want, get out of here. They forced them out. And the Bible says that the people were so favorable towards them, it's like, take anything you want. It's like, you want my lunch money? Take my lunch money. You want my watch? Take whatever you want. Please go. Take my livestock, take my cattle, anything. Just go. Just get out of here. I don't want any more plagues. And so they left. You see, when Jesus is negotiating on your behalf, it's better than having Joe Bornstein on your side. Your opposition's going to want to settle it, and they're going to want to settle it fast. You don't have to call whatever 1-800, you know, Joe for help. All you got to do is call out to the Lord. Lord, I've got an issue right now, and I know I can't do this on my own, but I know that you're the great negotiator here. Can you straighten this thing out for me? When I call on the Lord, he's going to take my opposition, and it's done, man. It's done. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not doing this on my own because he's going to be with me. Moses didn't think he could do it. But because God was with him, he was able to lead a nation out of captivity. Sometimes you might feel alone. Whatever it is that God is asking you to do, well, I don't think I can do that. You might not feel like you're good enough. Maybe you feel like because of things in the past, I'm disqualified from doing what God wants me to do. But the good news is, it's not about you. It's about him. Stop focusing on your inabilities and start focusing on his abilities. It's not you, it's me, says the Lord. The final plague that God used that finally turned Pharaoh's heart to send the Israelites out, it was the plague that all the firstborn in the nation of Egypt, death came upon them. From the palace to the prison and the dungeon to the herds in the field, the firstborn was going to die. But here's what we want to pick up here. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. See, God gave a command to Moses to give to the Israelites. He prepared them what's going to happen. The death angel's going to come through, but you need to sacrifice a young lamb and apply the blood to the doorpost. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. You see, it was the blood of the lamb that paid the price for the lives of the people of Israel. My next point here, you don't have to pay the price because he's already paid it. Have you guys ever been in line at Dunkin' Donuts and the person in front of you paid for your coffee? Nobody? Well, there's a dude behind me this morning because Tyson was with me, or I went to go get a coffee, and he's looking over, and he thought it was his teacher or somebody. He's like, oh, I don't know who that guy is. And he's like, maybe we should pay for him. I said, you want to pay for their coffee? Let's do it. So we paid for his coffee. I didn't stick around to see what was going to happen, but I highly doubt that the guy said, okay, so I get my coffee, and I don't have to pay for it. Well, let me pay for it. Let me still pay. How many of you ever had, like, no. If somebody paid for my coffee, I'm going to chug that thing and let's go. Woo-hoo! If there's someone behind me, maybe I pass it on. I might wait and find out what their bill is first, to be honest. I've been that guy who it's like the person behind me who just bought like 3 dozen donuts and I had to buy all of them. It's a social injustice if you don't do it. Pass it on, okay? Don't break the chain of, you know. Anyways, maybe you've had a really big bill. I've had some big medical bills before. If the hospital called me and said, oh, Mr. Nealand, you don't have to pay your bill because somebody else already paid it, I wouldn't keep trying to pay my bill. I wouldn't keep going, well, oh, no, really, I insist. Let me pull out the $10,000 that you need. Oh, please, please. No, that's not how that works. He's already paid the price. He's already paid the price. We often feel like we've got to stick around in our guilt and in our shame when he's already paid the price. He's already paid the price. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see, the blood was the currency that paid off our debts. I had a credit card bill, and you, how many of you guys, this is the most annoying thing in the world. My wife has a credit card through Old Navy. I'm not an authorized user. I tried to pay the bills one time. I called to pay a bill. And they told me, I'm sorry, Mr. Nealand, you're not an authorized user. You can't pay this bill. And my follow-up question was, how many people have been calling to try to make a payment on my behalf? Stop telling them they can't. Let it go through. So I don't know if I should tell you the rest of the story in church, but I'm going to. I hung up the phone, very angry. I was very mad. I just want to pay my bill. Just let's get over this. So I called them back, and I told them, hi, my name is Sarah Nealand, and I'd like to pay my bill. And he said, you're who? I'm Sarah Nealand. Date of birth. I listed the date of birth. I listed her social security number. What? Tell me I'm not. And he said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, sir, I am Mrs. Sarah Nealand. I'm sorry, sir. Are you good? Listen, I've been teased my whole life, man. I've got a deep voice. What do you want from me? I had this poor guy. Oh, my word. In retrospect, I feel really horrible about. No, I don't. I really don't. By the end of it, I paid my bill, okay? We got through that. But when somebody else wants to pay my bill, my point is I'm not trying to fight them off. But why is it sometimes we feel like, even though what Jesus did on Calvary and he paid your bill, sometimes we still feel like we got to do some more to pay it off? I'm going somewhere. Hebrews chapter 10. Man, this is where it all comes together, guys. Whew. Lord, help me. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. You see, under the old system, the priest would have to purify himself first, go before the Lord, and then offer another sacrifice for the people. It was like a payment plan with no end in sight. When I go to pay a credit card bill, every time I'm reminded of that horrible purchase. And why can't I just pay this thing all off at once? What are we doing with that? But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. It was an imperfect plan. Next verse. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices, watch this, actually reminded them of their sins year after year. That was the old covenant. Every time you pay that bill, you're reminded of the mistake that you made. Every time they went to do that sacrifice, the enemy would remind them, hey, you're only doing this because you messed up. Why is it? Folks, we are in the new covenant now. We don't have to remain in the old covenant because of what Jesus did, but we still allow the enemy of our lives to remind us of the awful things that you've done. Every time you try to pray, why are you praying? You know what you did. Why are you trying to read your Bible? And you feel that condemnation and that guilt and that shame from your past. You don't have to stay there anymore. That's under the old covenant. You haven't got to be reminded of it anymore. No more guilt. No more shame. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But our high priest, he offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins. Good for all time. Paul talked about it this evening in worship. The blood still heals. The blood still cleanses. It didn't just do it back then for those people. No, it's good for all of us. And it's good for all mankind. And we can still go to the throne room of grace. And we can apply that blood to our lives. What happened back then is still going to happen today. One time, a one-time sacrifice. No more guilt, no more shame. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Because you know what? It's not about me, it's about God. Woo! You're not alone. Got an amen out of the computer system. I like it. You're not alone. The price has been paid, but the battle goes on. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 14. Oh, I skipped that one. Go to Exodus chapter 14. Okay. Do you have Exodus chapter 14 back there? I can get it here if I need to. No, it's not there. Okay. Exodus chapter 14. When Pharaoh drew near, here we go. If you guys have your Bibles, we're Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. Back to the story of Moses. Ah, good job. Thanks. See, what happened is the Israelites set out. They got free from their captivity. And now they're going through the wilderness. They're and Moses is leading them. He's following the voice of the Lord. And at one point, Pharaoh decided, you know what? Those slaves we had, I think I want them back. He changed his mind. And he said, I'm going to go after them. And the Israelites are going up. And finally, this is where we pick this up. They've got the Red Sea in front of them, and they've got the Egyptians behind them. The whole army of Egypt mobilized against them to take them captive again. And here we go in verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Now check this out. Moses said to them, this is what you need to watch right here. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see it again. We'll pause right there. Sometimes you've got the Red Sea right in front of you, and you've got some enemy. Maybe it's your past sneaking up from behind you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't look like you can get through this thing. Guess what? That thing that's behind me, you're never going to see it again. Because once that thing's under the blood, and once God gives you that deliverance, you don't have to worry about that anymore. What happens next is Moses leads the Israelites. He raises his staff up to the Red Sea. You guys, if you've been in Sunday school, you know what happens. And the Red Sea parts, they walked right through it. And Moses told them, you don't have to do a thing. You don't have to say a word. You're going to watch God fight this battle for you. And as they went through on dry ground, it wasn't wet, it wasn't a marsh. They went through on dry ground. They got to the other side. Can you imagine what the Egyptian soldiers were thinking? You go first. I've never seen a sea separate like this. Once they all get in there, the Bible says once the Israelites stepped out of the Red Sea, out of harm's way, the waters collapsed on them and they just saw their enemy floating away. Wow. God wants to set somebody free tonight. Lord Jesus. The things that might have haunted you from the past, God wants to set you free from it today. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God wants to set you free from that. Hallelujah. The people of Israel felt trapped. Right before God delivered them through the Red Sea, they felt trapped. Some of you feel trapped today. You're between a rock and a hard place. I can't go forward, and I've got my past sneaking up on me. What am I going to do? You just heard the ending of the story. It wasn't the Israelites that were trapped. God was setting a trap for their enemies. And as they went through, and the Egyptian soldiers, I mean, don't mess with God, man. Don't mess with the people of the Lord. Don't you know that God's hand is upon you? And we still worry sometimes. Lord, forgive me, because there's times that I don't see how I'm going to get through. I believe it, maybe in my head, but I have a hard time getting it down here or vice versa. I know what God's called me to do, but I see there's some obstacles. You might be feeling that way. You know that God's got a call on your life. You know that you're supposed to speak to that person about the gospel. You know the direction that you're supposed to go. But maybe you feel like you can't do it on your own. Maybe you don't feel like you can pay that price. You don't have to, because God's going to be with you and He's already paid that price. And just like the Israelites, they thought for sure they were going to be defeated. But you're not going to be defeated, because Jesus Christ has already won. You see, we've got the advantage of skipping to the back of the Bible to really see what's going to happen in the end. It changes the landscape of things when you know what's at the end. If I know, not that I would play poker because that's sin, but if I knew what the other guy had in his hand, I knew my hand was better, man, I'm betting with house money. I'm all in. Okay, none of you play poker. Fine. Sheesh. When I was a kid, we played for pretzels until my friend's mother came down and saw that we were playing poker. We put them back in the bag. She came down and had a little snack. We laughed hysterically. Okay. Musicians, if you'd come, please. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Let's flip to the back of the Bible here. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last. Salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." Some of you still feel that pressure of the accuser. Day and night, when you lay your head down at night, you're still reminded of what you did. You're still reminded of your past. God wants to set you free from that once and for all. You don't have to go on living with that guilt and that shame. Do you know what happened? That guilt, that shame, it's like that burden, that weight that's on your back. If I wanted to, I'm not, because I'm already sweating enough, but if I was to run from one end to the other, just by myself, I may not be that fast, but I could do it, like, okay. But if I grabbed Dennis, and put him on my shoulders, I would have a hard time, right? I mean, I wouldn't move as fast. Even though I'm not that fast, I would be slower. It would be harder for me to do it with Dennis on my shoulder. We're not going to... No illustrations tonight, okay? But why is it that we continue to live our lives with the guilt and the shame from our past? Things that God has already healed us from. Things that God has already delivered us from. And we want to continue to hang on to that thing. Stop trying to live under the old way. Stop trying to live under the old covenant. The people used to go and make those sacrifices year after year, only to be reminded, the Bible says, of their sins. But there's so many Christians that are living the same exact way. You don't have to live that way anymore. You have been set free, and He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Don't keep trying to go back and do it that old way. Accept the freedom that God has for you. I know that there's somebody here tonight, because of the way that the Lord has dealt with me. Lord Jesus, you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. You feel like you've just done everything that you can do, and even more sometimes. God hasn't called you to do more than what He's asked you to do. Sometimes we try to, if you're like me, I I'm not a control freak, but if something's not getting done the way that I want it to be done, I like to get right in the middle. I'm not very patient. And when it comes to the ways of the Lord, sometimes I ask, okay, God, I need you to do this. And I wait 30 seconds. Okay, you haven't done it yet, so I'll go ahead and do it. But God wants us to be obedient, to do only what he's asked you to do, and allow him to fight the rest. You don't have to fix everything. You don't have to fix everything. You don't have to fix the past mistakes, because those past mistakes are under his blood. They're already thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be seen again. The Bible talks, the Lord says, once you've been forgiven, I will no longer remember it. But we wonder, how can a holy God forgive us when we can't even forgive ourselves for what we've done? I'm telling you, tonight's the night. Enough is enough. How many of you have been stressed before? Just a simple, like, every American on the face of the planet should raise their hand. We've all been stressed. We've all faced something that you've had that burden, that heaviness, whether it's scheduling, whether it's a financial pressure, whether it's a family issue. We've all experienced that pressure. After that thing has gone by, maybe you're stressed about Thanksgiving coming up. Maybe it's Christmas and it's a financial thing. Once that thing is gone by, you go, whew, phew, glad that's over with. Picture this with me. Can you imagine living your life every day that you wake up, a lifetime of that burden on your spirit because of what's happened in the past? You haven't been able to forgive yourself. Can you imagine waking up every day refreshed, knowing God's got that covered? Jesus covered that with his blood. I don't have to think about it anymore. And that refreshing that you feel, that sigh of relief, just finally relax. Like for the Israelites, God said, you don't even have to say a word. I'm going to fight this battle for you. Watch what I do. Can we all stand tonight? Tonight, I want to give you three points of action here, three calls. With every head bowed and every eye closed, can't speak a message about the blood of Jesus without offering an invitation for salvation. If you're here tonight, maybe you can identify with some of the things that I said. You've felt that heaviness. I tried to lay this out. You see, there was an old covenant. There had to be there was a price that had to be paid for our sins. It was through the sacrifices of these animals that we talked about. But because Jesus went to the cross and was the ultimate sacrifice for sin, we don't have to do that anymore. We just have to accept his free gift of salvation, ask him to forgive us, to come into our lives, and we'll just live our lives for him. If you're here today and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, and you'd like to do that today, what I want to tell you is, think about this. There's that weight. Maybe it feels like an emptiness. Maybe it feels like a pressure. The only way for that thing to go away, or that void to be filled, is to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way. The Bible says that there is one way to the Father in heaven. That is through Jesus. And it's through what he did on the cross, because he shed his blood for all of us. That's why we can access the Father. So if you're here tonight and you want to make a public confession, you want to give your life to Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just slip your hand in the air so that I can see you, and we'll say a simple prayer. Don't be afraid to do it. This is the best decision that you could ever make. Is there anyone here? guys can look up here. The second call, and this is, I feel so heavy about this. If you're here tonight and you're burdened by guilt and shame of your past, but you've accepted Jesus, you applied the blood to your life, but you're still carrying that burden, that's not right. You don't need to do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. And so maybe you're here tonight, you're feeling that burden. Maybe you've let it go. You are partially let it go, but it's over time crept back. That happens. And you want to lay it down at this altar. Give it over to the Lord. Accept His peace. Accept His joy in return for your guilt and your shame and your stress. That's what I want you to do tonight. And the rest of you, maybe, here's the thing. Recently in my business, I had to kind of reformat and almost come back to basics on some things. You know, sometimes in church, we overcomplicate things and we try to do a whole lot. We try to do a little bit too much to fix our problems or make them go away. But really, it's the blood of Jesus. Charleston Church, let us never forget the power that is in His blood. The power to save, the power to heal, the power to be set free in Jesus' name. Don't underestimate His power. Whatever your problem is, God's got an answer for it. We're on the winning team. It's something to get excited about. Whatever you're facing at work, whatever you're facing with your family, just begin to get back to basics in your mind and realize Jesus shed His blood for me. Those things don't even matter anymore. So tonight, if you're ready to lay down the guilt and the shame, or maybe you want to get back to basics and remember the power of His blood. And maybe you are a rock star, but you want to commit. I'm never going to forget it, man. Come and find a place here. I'm never going to forget the power of His blood. I will always live my life in victory because of what He's done. Come and find a place here at this altar tonight. And let's end this in prayer tonight. Come, come, come.
The final word, sorrow may come, the darkest night, the cross has the final word, the cross has the final word, the cross has the
price that Jesus paid was a price that you couldn't afford. I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. But Jesus stepped in. But Jesus stepped in. It's something to get excited about, church. I don't care where you're at in life. Let us never forget. I don't care how good your life is. Let us never forget the power of the blood of Jesus and what he did on the cross for you and I and for the rest of humanity. Let us never, ever forget it. When we begin to think of what Jesus has done for us and we begin to compare it to how we're living, I feel ashamed. But guess what? I don't have to be ashamed because he's paid the price for it. I can live in freedom. I can live in victory. So tonight, I know you're here. I know you're here, and I want somebody to receive freedom in Jesus' name. The shame, the guilt. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are made new in Christ. You don't have to hold on to it anymore. I don't know how to get this. I'm feeling burdened here because it's like a personal responsibility. Sometimes you think that you have to feel bad about it. You don't. Let God bless you. Let go of it. Just release it to the Lord. Father, I pray for the one or two that are here tonight. Begin to pray for one another, church. I pray, oh God, that no matter what weight, what burden might be holding us back tonight, it ends tonight. We don't have to fight anymore because you have already won. It's not about me, God. It's about you. In Jesus' name, begin to call upon the Lord. In Jesus' name, begin to leave it at his feet. Right now, Lord. Right now, Lord, would you take the captive and set them free, oh God? In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. The one who shed his blood for me. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord, church.
Hallelujah. Oh, we praise the Lord.
We are no longer captives. But we are free in Jesus' name.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you've chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Rescued you in the past. He rescued the Israelites. Do you know there's so many miracles in the Bible? God did them. You know, when I think about when Jesus fed the multitudes, I remember as a kid, I always thought it happened once. No, it didn't. There's two separate occasions that are recorded in the gospel. When Jesus fed the multitudes, had compassion on them, Joanne, and there was different numbers of loaves and fishes, and I always got it confused. No wonder, there's two separate stories. If you have been in your life at one time or another and experienced God's freedom, why would you ever doubt that you could get back there again? If He did it before, He can do it again. What He already did was permanent. He shed His blood once, Vinny, for all mankind. That's all He had to do. Sometimes we allow the enemy to creep back up on us, though, and we fall back into that bondage, right, Tim? Like, sometimes it's like, I don't know, I'm not, don't ask my wife, but I'm really not perfect. She might say that I am. There's times when we deal with things in our lives and it sometimes it's the same thing that seems to be that weak spot, right, Alex? Like, it's like, what? But if God can heal you from that once, come on now, somebody. It's time to quit going back to the same old thing and allow this blood that He shed to be permanent. So just because you've asked for forgiveness for something, just because you've tried to make a comeback from that thing in the past, if you're still struggling with it now, you can do it again. But guess what? Let's make it for once and for all, because the blood of Christ was shed once and it can cover the multitude of sins. You can live freely. Freely, Lord God. Church, begin to pray. God, I pray that You will take Charleston Church
And what I can see is when the enemy tries to attach these weights and these things of bondage upon us to limit us for what we can do for you. But because of what you did, Jesus, on Calvary, we can break free from that. And what you're going to do through us is going to be amazing. There are no limits of the goodness of God. Whatever you've been praying for, whatever you've been seeking God for, don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. I said, don't give up on it. The Israelites thought they came to a halt when they saw the Red Sea. Don't give up. Keep going. You think that the enemy's behind you closing in, but guess what? He split the sea so I could walk right through it. And he can do it for you. Hallelujah. That's it. Victory's just ahead. It is. Keep your eyes set forward. Go ahead, Paul.